Radio.
It's time to get stuffed. She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. Sit back, relax, and loosen up. It's Lisa Lampanelli and you're gonna get stuffed.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Hey, one and all. Why, it's the happiest time of the year, isn't it, Mike Morse?
Woohoo!
Party! It's Lisa Lampanelli, host of Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli, the podcast that employs Mike Morse in a kind of unemployed way.
Employ is a
that's such a broad terminology, isn't it?
It's very narrow in this case.
It is. And you know, the reason I don't charge for the podcast is because I don't want to pay you. Like, I have this thing where I'm like, well, if I charge for the podcast, yeah, checks could be coming Mike's way, but he has to learn to rely only on himself.
So it's a trickle-down theory with nothing trickling.
No trickling whatsoever. I'm so glad my mind didn't go to dirty things
Look
on
at you.
The word
you've,
trickle.
You've improved.
I'm so improved that we're now in the health section of the podcast situation. Now, the reason it's the happiest slash scariest slash crappiest time of the year is because guess what we're gearing up for? What, Mike?
The
masturbation.
Masturbation.
Oh, wrong.
I've masturbated during the holidays.
Oh, who hasn't except for me? It's going to be the holidays soon, and everybody thinks Halloween's scary, but trust me, as you know, if you come from a large family, a dysfunctional family, and who doesn't? Because I hate those people who say, I don't think my family's dysfunctional. That means you are.
Right.
It's like when sociopaths are like, I'm not crazy. Then you find 12 bodies on SVU with a head cut off and a penis in their neck.
Well,
no, that was on. No, did you?
That took a hard left.
Well,
there.
I'll tell you why it did. Because I am obsessed with this show, Mindhunter, on, I think it's Netflix. Okay. Have you watched it?
I have not, no.
Oh, man.
I will now.
It's an 80s era serial killer show about how they developed the profile of serial killers. And it's kind of based on a true story. Dude, there was some guy, and he was quite charming, I must say. And I would have gotten taken in on this. He used to lure these women, they cut off their heads, have sex with the head.
With the heads.
I'm talking about the neck.
Well, yeah, because you can't have sex with a woman's head, but it can still be on her, attached
right.
to her.
He said, though, he didn't use the mouth nor the ears. Wow. I would have gone for ears.
Well,
that's a little tiny.
Unfortunately, I could.
Yeah, sadly. He would go for the neck. And boy, Mike, in this show, he describes how difficult that is. And you know what? I ended up feeling really sorry for him because, you know what? He had low self-esteem in the first place, and now he has to try to have sex with a neck.
I wonder which way the head is turned. Is she looking at him while he's doing that?
No, he wanted to do it from behind.
From behind?
So I guess, yeah.
Kinky.
Yeah. Well, if that's the kinky part, I don't know. The guy had very little boundaries.
Wow, guys are fucked up.
Right. How did we get to this subject? I'll tell you how, by talking about family.
I almost want to scuttle the whole idea
coming
in here and just talk about penises in the head.
Well, I'll tell you why it leads to it. Okay. Because it's his mother's fault.
Oh.
And we today want to talk about holiday and family dysfunction. Because people are thrust, and I don't mean into a neck, they're thrust into holiday time with their family if they want it or not. So we have, obviously, you and I, terrific relationships with our family.
Oh.
That's why we end up comedians.
Yeah,
I often wonder that. I'm like, what is the profile of someone who becomes a comic? Like, what's wrong with us? We're probably real close to a guy who fucks a neck.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a different outlet.
Yeah.
We fuck audiences.
Get your in the neck. Well, I do often. I'll whip that thing out. But yes, so around the holidays, and I heard this once on Oprah. Now, I don't love everything Oprah does. She talks about the joy of bread. I don't appreciate that. Wait, your joy is bread, you're a sad person.
Right.
My feeling is, one thing she said was right, which was, don't think you have to spend every minute of every holiday with your family. You have to have limited time because people go, oh, I'll spend the week with them or a weekend or a whole hour. You have to commit to whatever. It's never going to be Norman Rockwell. Am
right.
I right?
Right. Exactly. And I came from an actually pretty normal family. We never had huge arguments and stuff. So, I'm still fucked up, but I can only imagine coming from a family that there's constant fighting and disruption. I know. How was yours?
It was better around the holidays than most times, so I kind of like the holiday because we got gifts.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
If you're going to get yelled at least you get a gift.
That's true.
You know? True. What was stressful is that back in the day, see people, I don't lie to you about my age, my weight, nothing. I'm 56 years old. And back in those days, mom did everything. Mm-hmm. So it was very stressful for the mother.
Right.
So my mother is a rager. You know, if I don't buy her, as you know, table talk pies in peach, which, by the way, the other day I could only buy in pumpkin and she was sorely disappointed.
Oh, yeah. That's
I didn't get yelled at.
That's a come down.
Yeah, yeah. But she was, I got a kind of a stern look off her.
Okay.
So I feel like she was always sort of like almost on the edge of snapping, and the holiday stress is what took her over the top.
Right. Well, back then it took like 3 days to get, because you had to start preparing the turkey 2 days before, and
right,
soaking it and whatever the hell they did and making the stuffing. Yeah, I remember my mom was, you didn't see her for 2.5 days.
Which was terrific.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the problem. Then the spillover comes to us. You hear them, her and my father talking downstairs and we're upstairs trying to sleep and they're like, those goddamn kids, they don't help. And you're like, oh my God, it's gearing up. We better pretend to be good kids tomorrow.
Your pans crashing all of a sudden.
Oh my God, my mother was a slammer and a half, which, by the way, I have taken that talent. I am this close to thrusting a neck. You know, I think it's kind of a talent. So yeah, that's what I think. It's weird because do you ever buy that there is, I know there's never a perfect childhood. And I get that we are lucky enough that we have very, thank God, functional families that get together and still like each other. What about these people who try to pretend they had a great childhood? I don't like it.
No.
Don't you feel as if they're hiding an awful neck-thrusting secret?
There's something going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because no one had it perfect.
No.
You know, we'll talk later on to my gay sidekick, Frank DeCaro, who, let me tell you, there's no way he had a perfect family. Guess what happened to this guy? First of all, he's a gay.
Well,
so something must have happened to him to make him gay. No, what happened? He was one of those babies that comes, like, I forget what he calls it, but
adopted?
No. Like, too late. Like, it was like, his mother was like 40-something back year, 50 years ago, 40-something.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was a surprise, and they called him a miracle, which, of course, sets it up for failure, because if everything you do isn't a miracle, then you're considered a loser.
Right.
And imagine coming out of the closet, being a gay, everything. I mean, he must have felt like crap. Let's hope, because that'll make a great segment.
Yes.
And then, you know what? Why don't we make it so we make Frank cry today?
Okay.
Between your
happy I was.
I know. Between your lousy attitude and his weight, his probable weight gain, I think we're going to be a success.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, we're going to hear a lot out of that guy. But, yeah, if anyone, do me a favor, people. Go to my Facebook page. That's what to do. Go to facebook.com/Lisa Lampanelli. If you think you had a charmed childhood or a great, perfect life or something where even you're always going, I'm so grateful. Listen, you don't learn gratitude without a lot of crap going on. I don't believe you. But if you go to my page and you write me your little goddamn perfect childhood story, I will freaking call you on the air and we'll figure out what's really going on with you. Because that's what I do, Mike. I figure it out.
Right.
Now, in your family, how many kids were there? How many parents? Because you have to ask that these days.
These days. Well, back when I was. I had both my parents. And I have a brother, but he's 18 years older than me.
Wow.
So he was married by the time I was, right out of college, he got married. So by the
time
I was five, he was married. And then he had kids right after that. So
wow.
My oldest niece is only a few years older than I am.
Wow.
Or younger than I am. Yeah.
So you, there's just the two of you?
Yeah, that was it.
So now you...
I was an only child.
Basically.
Because he was out of the house by the time.
So you have no excuse for being as crappy a person as you are.
No, I was... I will blame it on my parents because I was spoiled because
I was
the miracle child. They were 40 when they had me.
Jeez, I can't believe...
I turned out straight, though.
Yeah, I know. See, at least you have one up on Frank. But I can't believe you were, like, kind of raised as the only child, the spoiled child, but you end up still effed up, fat, and a comedian.
What did you do to yourself? My brother had already been through college, was a sports star in school, got a great job right out of college, had his wife and kids. You may not realize this, but I'm a bit of an artistic freak. So
yeah, something wrong with you.
Yeah, so I was like, growing up, just listening to, just wanting to play music and not wanting to get a real job. And so compared to him, growing up being the sports star, and he was a great guy and a good job. You know, here I come along and it's like,
loser with a dream.
Right, exactly.
Is that what you were going to say?
That's what I still am.
Now, so your brother clearly was the white knight,
yeah.
You know, and you were the black sheep.
Right.
Now, this is the thing. I always felt like the black sheep because I had a sister who was like the perfect one, like mm-hmm. the one, as you say, with the brother.
Right.
Drama club president of the senior class.
Older?
2 years older.
Okay.
So that's a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
And also, she freaking liked people and had friends. I don't know what that's going on with that. But she was always surrounded by all these girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to live up to.
And that's harder than mine because you have to see it.
Every day.
You are experiencing. I just heard the stories and it was sort of a concept. You are like, well, there she is.
There she is. And she's gregarious mm-hmm. and nice and people like her. And I'm like, wow, I'm friends with the freaks. Not even the cool freaks, like not the pot smoker freaks, like the ones who literally didn't know if they were gay or straight.
Right.
But back then you didn't even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who didn't really do drugs, but were kind of would experiment with the pot once at graduation
right.
and thought they were cool. Drama nerds, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know who is more horrible, me or you. At least I didn't get fat early. So at least I had a few
right.
years.
Oh, I have pictures of that too.
Actually. Oh my God.
Yeah.
People, we talked last week about Mike's fatness because he like deemed, he loved himself being a rock star skinny back in the day.
I would be 130 pounds if I could.
Tell me, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When did you lose the weight? What age were you?
I was, it's been up and down, but mm-hmm. I was real big as a young child. In high school, I lost a lot. Mm-hmm. I went to college. I gained a lot of it back.
Right.
Then I lost again. And it's always yo-yo. It's hard.
But your fat fuck stage really ended at after high school?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But so you grew up that way. So are you easier on yourself about that? What do you think about your family made you be fat? Because I'm blaming your family.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, my mom was a great cook.
Uh-huh.
She and you know, like you said back then, the wife was mm-hmm. was in the
food
kitchen
pusher,
and dad would come home and it would be the meatloaf and the mashed potatoes and the you know, all the starchy delicious stuff. And since I was the only child, the spoiled mm-hmm. one.
Right.
Yeah, just
food is love. Food is love. Let me see. Oh my God. Oh my God. People. Okay. Listen to me. I'm demanding Mike put this up on his Facebook page. Mike, what's your Facebook page?
It is Mike Morse. Just M-O-R-S-E. Yeah. Mike Morse.
Dude, there's a chubby bastard. Oh my God. First of all, okay, I can't even believe how old you are. Like, meaning, like, you look like these pictures were taken in 1940. Like, don't those look like...
Here we are, outside the Brown Derby.
Yeah! Why, the Victrola was warming up in the background. Mike, you have to post those. People, you got to look at this guy. This is the thing. Mike's nothing to look at now. But I'll tell you what, he certainly isn't a little chubby bastard. Like, that's adorable. I mean...
You can get away with it when you're six.
Well, and also when you sit like that.
Yeah, look,
had a gunt.
I did, yeah.
Mike had not only a gunt, he had camel toe and muffin top.
This is me at a zoo, and this is how little they cared about children back then. They just put me on top of the bear cage and just like...
They were hoping for the best.
Yeah.
That's what's weird. Now, do you think your family secretly resented that you were born? Because maybe they were like, oh good, the brother's out of the house. We're finally got our house back, and now they get pregnant, and God, you know, they're not going to have an abortion because they're Catholic.
Right.
Oh, those were the days when you couldn't have abortions. No. And so they were, maybe, do you think they resented you a little bit? I know you're in denial, so go ahead. It's okay.
Well, I don't know. I never felt that. I know that they said it was planned. We all know that's bullshit. Like the kid, like you said, my brother was out of the house.
Right,
Bang a couple gin Rickies.
And, yeah. That happens. Yeah. That happens. They put that Victrola on and suddenly it was a lot of flim flam.
But again, back then, that's what people did.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you had the kid. Okay, this is the responsibility now. So
sure.
I don't think there was a crazy amount of resentment. They were pretty normal people, actually, strangely enough.
Do they exist anymore? Are your parents alive?
No, both my parents and my brother are
shut
dead.
Up.
Yeah, so.
Wait a minute. So that, to me, see, that's always... I always joke about that's my fantasy if like everybody's dead, but obviously it's not because I run home every goddamn week and
right.
see everybody and I feel like I'm ripped from the womb if I don't and I have to stay connected. Like I always joke about the best holiday would be just me and the dog watching like Law and Order SVU all day every day and Mindhunter and thrusting a neck, but I feel like it's all bullshit. And I'm truthfully, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die alone. Like, if they don't, I'm like, want to make contracts with everyone saying, I die first, okay? I mean, I probably will. Yeah. I mean, it'll be tragic. It'll be great.
Although you're too healthy now. That's the problem.
Damn it. Hopefully I'll get cancer. Yeah. Anyway, I think, like, you know, I do like the fact that they'll be around.
Good.
And if not, I'd be that crazy aunt who spoils the nieces and nephews so that they feel that they have to have me over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I have to. There's always some crotchety aunt who paid for their college who has to be invited over now, even if they hate them.
Right.
Okay, so I'll be okay. Is that what you're saying?
Luckily, you have a little cachet there where it's you are, you know, you're the celebrity relative.
Yes,
so,
that's
so
true.
So no matter how obstinate and senile and disgusting you get, they're going to go, well, that's, you know, that's Lisa Lampanelli.
Because I'm pretty obstinate, senile, and disgusting now. What's funny is my niece and nephew, I have eight, but the two of them have said to me, you know, our friends are so, like, I bet you don't really know, you know, that's not really your aunt, meaning, like, she's your aunt in, you know, by relatives.
Oh.
She is a relative, but I bet you never see her. And they're like, no, she comes to everything. And I do, Mike, I tell you, I go to every recital. I go, because in the back of my mind is, God, don't let me die alone. Because really, I got my best friend who's for 30 years, which you figure, oh, good, you're going to live a long, healthy life. You'll have your best friend living next door to you. This bitch, who knows what's going to happen to her?
You don't know.
She's a cripple. She's, what's the word, disabled.
Yeah.
Suppose she falls down another fucking flight of stairs. Be more careful, Vicky.
Right.
Oh, I can't take it.
Even worse, you might be in charge of taking care of her.
You know what? I'll baby Jane her. I'll be like, but you are, Vicky. You are in that chair, Victoria. Oh, that'd be great. Then I can make her eat the bird.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All those people.
Or thrust the neck, whatever.
Why not? That'd be great if we just, like, became crazy stalkers of, like, good-looking men and we made them have sex with us. And then they had to, like, be thrust. I don't even know what that means.
I'm ready to treatment for that.
That's a story waiting to happen. So yeah, so that I complain about family, but I do feel like, oh, it's good to have them around. But now you tell me you got nobody.
Nobody.
Do you still keep in touch with your brother's wife and kids?
No.
What happened?
The mom of his kids, he divorced and he married someone else. So I don't talk to her. Occasionally, I'll talk to his second wife.
Right.
But she lives in Florida now, so, you know.
The land of the lazy.
The land of the lazy and old.
Mm.
And, you know, the nieces I talk to occasionally, but,
Now, I have a feeling this is why you're a good father. Because you're like, okay, I don't have the first family. Now I got the second family and I'm really going to make this work.
Oh, yeah.
Because you clearly, by being unemployed and not that talented, have a lot of time to spend at home.
Plenty of time.
I mean, do you feel like you learned lessons in your life growing up that you are now sort of like, okay, these are my boundaries with my kids. This is how I'm acting towards my kids. I'm not spoiling them. I'm not giving them a meatloaf every night. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, I do spoil them a little bit. But yeah, I think you realize, especially once you lose your parents, you realize, well, you know, you want to make sure they have time with you. Because, you know, I lost my father fairly. I was 20 or 21, something like that.
Oh, that's rough.
So I was kind of young. Listen, I'm no spring chicken and I don't take care of myself. So
I know you're in horrible shape.
So like, how long do I have? So I want to make sure they're enjoying me and I'm enjoying them as much as I can. So yeah, so being lazy and unemployed
does help.
It helps.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
It all works out.
You know, if you had been born with more talent, your kids would really be like so sad right now. Right,
but they'd have a trust fund.
That's true. But you know, we knew that was never going to happen for you. But now we were talking, I mentioned briefly the black sheep. Now that I always felt when I was in my family gatherings, because I think the black sheep is the person, not necessarily who is excluded, but the one who doesn't quite fit in.
Right.
Is that how it's sort of defined?
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always felt like, you know, they say people with low self-esteem are like, I'm the biggest piece of shit around which the whole world revolves. Because why isn't it always about me?
Right.
So even as a journalist, before I started, as you know, before I started comedy, I was a rock journalist. So I interviewed bands. And we'd be sitting at the Thanksgiving table with like 30 people. And I'd go, I'd really be thinking, why aren't we talking about me? I have interviewed Cinderella. I have interviewed Slaughter. Mm-hmm. I have interviewed Rush 3 times. What the fuck? fuck have you people done?
Well, that's the thing, and I know what you're talking about because you're hearing them talking about. Well, there was a bake sale.
Yes,
quite successful.
Right.
Start going on about what kind of cakes were. Oh, and someone bought a pie. It was a cake sale. And yeah. You're like, for 20 minutes, you're listening to that, and you're going, I just saw the lead singer from Rat, you know, fucking somebody in the neck.
Listen. The lead singer of Rat came to one of my comedy shows once. I couldn't even squeeze that little tidbit in.
Right. So you have so many much more interesting things.
I thought I was way more interesting than them. And I still think I am, quite frankly. But you know what I learned, Mike, over the years? I go, they think they're interesting. Let me pretend they are too. Let me be the bigger person and go, oh, you're kidding. Oh, really? Oh. Like, and you perfect all those faces. So that's why the holidays aren't so dreadful for me. Like, right. Where I go, you know what? I'm actually legitimately interested in my nieces and nephews. I don't even have to fake that. I'm legitimately interested in my brother because he works for ESPN, and that's pretty exciting because there's lots of rapes by the athletes.
Right.
I'm literally interested in my brother-in-law and sisters. And my sister-in-law, oh my God, I'm totally interested in her because she's the one secure person I've ever met and doesn't have a dysfunctional childhood. That's why she's good. And my mother, not so interested in, but she makes me laugh and gives me material for table talk pies. But the nieces, but cousins and all that shit, I'm not faking interest in them, Mike. My sister tells me Thanksgiving, get this, 25 people, half of them, they're not even related to us. If my father was alive, you know what he used to say? He'd go, what the fuck? My father didn't even curse. And he'd go, what the fuck did your sister have to have these little prefer? He goes, I don't fucking know this one. The one time a year he cursed was around Thanksgiving, which was she taking in the homeless? Now I got to muster up enthusiasm for their dopey kids?
Now here's what you're going to have to do.
Another task.
Yes, because there's going to be cousins and people you probably don't know.
Yes.
Distant relatives, people you're not related to. And it's the heart. And it reminded me when you brought it up, when you go, they'll know who you are and they'll go, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And you'll have to be nice and go, what do you do for a living?
Oh!
And then they'll say, and this is the hardest part, they'll say, well, I'm a claims adjuster. And you'll go, that's great.
Yeah.
That's not great.
You know what? How about I do this, Mike? I seen this video, this TED talk about Brené Brown. She says about vulnerability. She's fantastic. So she talks about being real, being honest, and showing people your feelings. So let's do it. Let's like play act, role play a thing where I'm me. And I'm going to act vulnerable to someone who's a claims adjuster. Okay, ask me who I am. Oh, your sister, Nancy tells me you're Lisa, you're a comedian.
Nancy was a great party. Nancy was telling me you do some comedy.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. So what do you do?
Oh, just hold on. Well, first, say something funny.
Oh, fuck you! I'm not getting paid today! That's what I always say. I go, I'm off the clock. Mike, I swear to God, I say I'm off the clock. I can't stand it. Because if I have a day off, I don't want to be funny. All right, so after they say that, I say, you know what? I talk about me all the time. What do you do?
Well, I'm a claims adjuster for a local business.
A local outfit. Can I tell you, sir, what I've been practicing? Is that a ma'am or are you a ma'am? I still can't tell what that accent.
I'm not sure either.
You are very uninteresting to me. And Brené Brown, who's the expert on vulnerability, says you should just be truthful with people. So I have to say, I'm not interested in that. And I doubt you are either. I suggest you kill yourself.
Okay.
See? Here's what I've accomplished, people. By being vulnerable, I have told them what I think, and I've rid the world of another boring insurance adjuster.
I don't think that's going to work out well if you do that.
Why? It's terrific.
It's going to get back to Nancy.
Well, Nancy hears everything. Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of Nancy, okay, my sister is hilarious. First of all, I'm the quiet one in the family. She is loud as F, and she has a big laugh. She's one of those women who, like, brings a room together. Well, yesterday we announced that my place Stuffed is closing. Huh. So I wasn't that sad about it, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Mike, I'm very, if it's meant to be person. They said the ticket sales after December aren't good. Should we close early? I said, fuck yeah. Because guess what, Mike, first of all, I'm a money person. I love money. And you're not making a shitload anyway, but I don't want to lose anything. I'm not like vain where I want to keep it going.
You don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, why would I go backwards? So I said, hey, the play's going to help who it's going to help. We're going to get the tickets done for these 2 weeks. Now we're fine. Well, my sister, I tell her, And this is her. This is classic family stuff with me. I go, you know, yeah, we decided to close early, so I'm really excited. We'll have Thanksgiving. And she goes, oh. And I go, no. I said, Nath, honestly, I swear to God, because she'd be sad. That's her life. Yeah, you know, she hates things ending. So I go, no. I go, I really feel the universe is meant to be. I said, because now I'll have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I'll have, like, time off. 2.5 months, Mike, I'll have off. Wow. Like, all to myself. Mm-hmm. I've never had that in my life. And my sister goes, well, you know, I'm so happy that you feel okay about it. And I just hope it's not even in your mind that you let everybody down. And I hope the other actors don't feel you let them down. Oh, and I go, well, I didn't till now. I go, that wasn't in my mind till today. No, but. And I go, I know you mean nothing but the best. And I know she's just trying her best. But she's right. It's like those things, you just go, I can't believe somebody just said that. Mm. But you go, it's meant from the right place. Mm. So that's what I got to do with family. That's what everybody has to do with family.
Suck it up.
Yeah, but guess what? I still can make a joke about it. Boy, is she going to be told about it in my stand-up. I mean, you know, you learn ways to deal with family that you just make it fun.
Right.
Now, that being said, if your family's a bunch of dirty alcoholics or crackheads, get away, go cut off somebody's head and stick your dick in it. That's a perfect place to end this segment, I think.
I think so. We've come full circle.
Yeah, literally we have. But Mike, you know what I want after the break?
Yes.
I know you, this whole black sheep thing, because I'm going to try to figure out, because I think I know which niece and nephew are black sheep, but I want to try to figure this out. And plus, I want to make sure I am the black sheep. Do you have some way of us for figuring this out? You always do your research.
I do have a little, are you a black sheep quiz?
Oh my God, I'm totally taking it.
All right.
And then, you know what we'll do? We'll pick the best questions and ask Frank, because we know he is, because he's just the black sheep of life. And if he is like, no, it's not me, we're totally nailing him.
So you're saying he is, but he doesn't know he is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Fully. I mean, come on. He's a gay. You know? They're all going to hell because GodHatesFags.com. Anyway, you know I love you. You know I'm kidding. And if anybody, you know what? I have to say to my viewers and listeners, because there are no viewers because you can't see anything.
Jim and I are the only viewers.
Yes, exactly. If you take anything I say against the gays seriously, well, you're correct. I hate them. No, just stop it.
You keep digging the
lighten
paper.
Up. It's a comedy podcast / health podcast, and it's called Get Stuffed, and we'll be right back, bitches.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back.
Oh my God, who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Yes, that's how I talk to my dog. No one would know that the Queen of Mean, Lisa Lampanelli, has a big heart when it comes to her animal, Parker. And the minute I get his BarkBox in the mail every month, he knows what a good boy he is. BarkBox is literally the best thing my dog has ever seen besides me. What it is a box that comes to your door. 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys that are curated around a surprise theme each month. BarkBox is good for at least 12, 13 licks on the face by your little cute little pet. What you do is, first of all, you go to BarkBox and tell them how big your dog is. It could be tiny, in the middle, or huge. They will curate the box that's just right for you. You can choose a 1 month plan, a 6 month plan, or a 12 month plan, and you can cancel anytime and have free shipping. But believe me, you are never going to cancel, because the joy you see on that dog's face when he gets his monthly subscription to BarkBox, it's priceless. Now, BarkBoxes are shipped on the 15th of every month. You can right now order, and by the 15th of the month, you are going to have sweet little toys and cute little delicious treats just for your doggy. All edible products are made in the USA or Canada, and 100% of the products are tested on animals, and they love it. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys from local and small businesses that you might never have heard about or been able to find. And each month you have a theme, so your doggy's toys will be about like Barkball, get it, baseball, Poo York City, get it, New York City, Brooklyn hipster, even though we hate hipsters, we love hipster dogs.
Any unique toy that will keep your dog engaged, interested, and happy is what BarkBox will send you. There's free shipping on any BarkBox order within the continental U.S. And here's the deal. When your dog falls in love with something from a particular BarkBox, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com, their app, or by texting them. They want your dog to be happy. BarkBox is shipped to your door. There's unique toys and treats that you could never find anywhere else. All edibles are made in the U.S. and Canada. They will replace any item your dog doesn't like. That's huge because, trust me, you want your dog happy. Don't have your dog turn on you. It ain't that time of year. Here's a special offer I have just for you. Go to getbarkbox.com/getstuff. And for you, the listeners of Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli, BarkBox is offering an opportunity to receive a free extra month of BarkBox at barkbox.com. To receive 1 month free, go to getbarkbox.com/getstuff. Again, that's getbarkbox.com/getstuff to receive an extra month of BarkBox for free. Do it now. Your doggy's worth it, and so are you.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hi, all. It's the very functional Lisa Lampanelli here with the unfunctional, dysfunctional, and neck functional Mike Morse. And we are talking about family and holidays and effed upness in trying to hang out with them over the holidays.
It ain't easy.
It ain't, Mike. And I think, to be honest, we're the ones who are making it hard.
Oh, yeah. Although, with my family now,
current family, yes, like your wife and kids.
The in-laws, the mom was good. The dad was, he was a very staunch conservative guy. Ooh. And so that was always kind of a lot of that biting your tongue and stuff. But yeah, no, I've been lucky where I've never had any fist fights or stuffing.
Is that the standard?
Yeah, stuffing being thrown across the room at any point.
Did you have cold stares?
Well, I like the fact that most of the guys just go and watch the football game. I think that's smart.
Guys are so much better at holidays than women. So you just basically, you have a few beers and you get drunk and you
ignore
sit there.
Everyone.
Oh, you're so lucky. See, I knew I should have been born with a penis to thrust. Well, so now we promised I was going to take, and I'm getting resentful of you a little bit because you always bring in these quizzes and I fail them.
I wouldn't say fail them. You pass them, but just negative quizzes.
That's true. Yeah. I with flying colors, I am a bad friend.
Right.
With flying colors, I have body dysmorphia.
Right.
So let's see, flying colors, I am the black sheep of the family. I'd like to think do you think there's a certain pride in being the black sheep of the family?
I think there should be, as long as you're not the black sheep because you've killed someone or stolen money from your grandmother. I think if it's just because you have a different lifestyle, I think that's fine.
What about if you cut off someone's head and stuck your
penis? It depends on the person's head.
That's true. Like if you cut off your grandmother's head.
That's bad.
Okay,
so
we have
like Harvey
limits.
Weinstein's head.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Right. That's poetic justice. So there you go.
Okay, let's see how much I'm a failure.
I got this from BuzzFeed, and it's just, are you the black sheep of the family?
Okay.
And yes or no's. Ever since you were a child, you felt that you were different from the rest of your family.
Yes.
Yes, I figured that.
Yes.
You've never been the stud or you've never been the girly girl.
Yes, I've been the stud. I can tell you that they put me out to pasture.
In gym class, you could be seen from a mile away, screwing things up, and
I thought the men knew you were super fat. Like that's how I take it. You can be seen from a mile
this
away.
This is not the self-esteem.
So wait, yeah, wow, we're back on bodies. Wait, like meaning like that I just sucked at gym?
Yes.
Oh, terrible, Mike. Did you have those things in gym class? They were these rings that hung down from the ceiling, and you had to go.
Oh yeah,
like that?
Yeah,
dude. I couldn't do one. Did you have to climb the rope?
The rope. That's what I was going to say. That was
I couldn't climb the rope.
You saw my little fat ass there. I could not get up there.
How did we pass school?
They felt bad for you. They felt
bad
for you.
And they just go. I remember I wasn't even fat and I couldn't do it. At least you had a girth excuse. Me, I just had, I have the upper body strength, as you know, of Stephen Hawking. I can't make it work. Hey, okay, so Brad Memories, thank you. Go ahead. I can tell this is going to go in a shit spiral.
Let's see, family dinners. This might not be. Family dinners tend to go downhill when you're around.
because you...
I take responsibility for that after college, because when you go away to college and you're exposed to new ideas, mm-hmm. and you come home and you think you know everything, I'd sit at that table and everybody's like, we don't like you anymore. Stop with your newfangled ideas about women and blacks being equal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you've heard about this, mom and dad, but there are Jews out there. I met my first Jew in college, so it really shouldn't be that much of a surprise. I'm going to come home with different ideas. Yeah. Oh my. Well, yes, you're right. A good 18 years.
We had one Jewish in my high school. I had one Jewish person. It was a young girl, Ellen, her name was. And that was my first exposure to...
those horns.
Yeah.
What can you do? But yeah, you come home from college, everybody gets uncomfortable, and they have to always draw pictures of their mashed potatoes. Go ahead.
Dinner time is also apparently the perfect time for your family to tell you everything you should be doing with your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a figure.
I mean, not anymore, obviously, but yes, years ago, because I found my real purpose late in life. Mm. Like, when did you hit on yours? I hit on mine at age 30.
Oh, I always knew I wanted to do comedy. I mean, but I actually didn't start doing it until...
No, I mean your purpose in life.
My purpose?
Something you were good at.
Oh, I'm still waiting for that.
Okay, cool.
I'm thinking about claims adjustment.
Oh, good. Wait, hold on. That's my dishwasher. Hold on.
Julio's here?
Is Clay Aiken here? Yeah. Unload my dishwasher, everybody. I love how we're doing this so informally. And I know our engineer is typing, should I cut out the dishwasher? No. Yeah. Fuck it. It's not dysfunctional if you don't have a little tick, 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 tick.
The weird thing is we're in a $17 million state-of-the-art studio, and there's a dishwasher.
Isn't that weird? I have a lot of needs. It's in my rider. All right. So far I'm black sheep in it.
Oh, yeah. If your whole family listens to country music, without a doubt, you're the only punker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I figured that.
Well, I mean, in my defense, Mike, they were listening to Sinatra. They were listening to Mario Lanza.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, these are Italian folks. Yeah, and when I listen to The Clash, it's like, and I'm the weird one. Okay.
All right. At some point in your life, you've exclaimed in exasperation, no, mom, it's not just a phase. It's me.
Yes. And my other favorite thing to say to my mom. Oh, by the way, that, of course, was yelled at her. The not just a phase was the, remember those rat tails we used to grow?
Yeah.
It was like this little skinny braid around. That was a phase. Yeah, it's just me. If it was just me, I'd still have it. You know what I mean?
Right,
you'd still have your dopey feather earring. I used to yell at that stuff. Oh, this was a classic one to yell at my mom. I know you love me. The problem is you don't like me. Because I always figured, like, she has to love me, but she doesn't like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I honestly think she likes me, but not because of any reason like she likes my personality. I'm just the only one who'll go over and see her and bring her groceries and pies. I'm loved by default. Yeah.
If your whole family is totally religious, you either follow one that's different or you don't follow any at all.
Oh my God, that's so true. Guess what I did once? In a huff. Like, of course, the college enlightened years where you're looking into Hinduism and Buddhism at your new Jewish school, Syracuse University. I stormed out of church one day in exasperation because they gave out an anti-abortion little leaflet and everyone was tisking and going, oh, how terrible these abortions are. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm totally going to get one of those. I mean, let's cross our fingers. And I went in a huff out of the church. And to this day, my family has no idea why I left the church.
Really?
I wasn't going to say it's anti-abortion. Right. I just was like, I'm having a hot flash 25 years early. But dude, yeah, it was. I had to hate the Catholics.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, here's
most people do.
Yeah, you're still the only one who hasn't introduced a boyfriend or girlfriend to the family.
Well, let's put it this way: I'm still the only one who's single. Mm. I'm still the only one who'll be forever, I hope, childless, because I hope I don't snap at 60 and adopt twins like Diane Keaton did. Because like that's just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I may have to adopt a handicapped kid for the monthly payment long as, you
good
know.
Good PR, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You get a lot of play with that. I got so much press when I adopted Parker. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Just imagine if that was a little kid in a wheelchair.
That's right. Oh, one of those Jimmy funds. Oh, the Shriners kids are the best.
You know what? Your play would be on extended run.
Oh, exactly.
You're like Cats.
And you know what? Cast the whole cast with those Jimmy Fun kids and the Shriners kids. Can I tell you, though, have we talked about the Shriners kids?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know this?
No.
Do you see the commercial? Jim, our engineer, have you seen the commercial? Oh, they're adorable. I have a problem with this St. Jude's. Now, it's a terrific, terrific charity. Great hospital. The kids look all sad.
Okay, I know.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
Cancer.
You have a bad disease. Cheer up. Just for,
you're on TV.
Just to get people to send you money. Right. I want to send money to happy people. These fucking, look, people, look up Shriners.org, I think it is. They run commercials. Mike, they're the happiest effing kids. And one's got, he writes with a foot. The kid is fantastic. And I'm not even making a joke. He says, he's all smiles. And he goes, hey, look what I can do. I wrote my name. Like, he's fucking proud.
Right.
And I'm like, God damn it. You find it impossible to not write a check. I mean, I didn't. Because right. I figured, yeah, I've given enough to many people. But if I was to not be this cheap, I would have written a check. The kid writes with a foot. Then there's one in a wheelchair with half a leg. And he's like, hey, we have fun here and this and that. I'm like, you little Shriner bastards deserve the money. Now, St. Jude's, you do too. Right. You probably deserve it more because it's a worse disease than having a half a leg. But listen, St. Jude's, lighten up.
Right. See, some people.
That's my message, lighten up.
That is. Some people see the chemo IV bag as half empty. Some see it as half full.
Mike, you always say something to drag the show to a halt. Okay, so give me a couple more questions.
Right. I don't know if you can look over here. I don't know if you
noticed. Shut the fuck up. I know. There's a lot of, I know. Yes. I'm clearly dysfunctional and clearly a black Jeep, despite being white.
Oh, this will be a good one. Have you ever introduced a significant other to your family and they instantly become the main topic of conversation in the house?
Who's they?
Your family, the guy?
Oh, my God. Constantly. I had... This is my mother. I told her years ago, stop saying it. It hurts my feelings. I can't believe I was that honest with her. She would always go like this. She'd always go, well, I hope this one's better. And then she would go, and you should have seen the last one. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's so smart and she's so talented. And I'm like, give me another cupcake. This is why we eat. So I said, all right, this woman, I love her, but every boyfriend I introduce, he's a loser. So I finally said to her, Mom, that hurts my feelings because it suggests I don't make good decisions. Mm-hmm. Guess why it hurts my feelings? Because she's right.
I bet she said it in front of the new guy, too. Like,
without a doubt.
You should have seen the last one.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're a step up. 400-pound Frank D'Amico was a step up. That's how scary
mine is. And then you did date some African-American gentlemen, and must have been a
classic
shock
was,
to the Italian-American traditional family unit.
Oh, yeah. Once I said to my mother, I said, is it okay if I date this black guy? He has a good job. And she goes, what's a good job for a black? And I said, any job. And we all laughed.
It's like the Sammy Davis Jr. conversation in Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, yeah. He was a charcoal briquette. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, if you, they get shocked when they meet a gay or lesbian friend of yours.
Want to know what's weird about that?
What's that?
That's the only
really?
One that's a no.
Okay.
Because my father was very accepting of everybody. Hmm. And he never, I think because he was an artist and he was a good painter, he met so many freaking gays along the way that he was just like, another one of these. And also, my mother has a famous quote. I have her on tape. She loved every gay friend and especially gay Wendell, my first gay. And she said one day, she goes, I love the gays because they're loyal. They stick with you. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I think she just called him a golden retriever. But either way, I think, you know what I think they liked about him? That they weren't going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like my mother was like, oh, boyfriends can hurt you.
Right.
But these gays, what can they do? Back then, we didn't know about AIDS.
Mm.
I'm leaving it at that.
All your cousins study sciences. You're the only one studying humanities.
Oh, yeah. Well, not humanities, but I was the only one who wanted to say cunt for a living.
There you go.
So, you know, that's a pretty specific job requirement.
Your old high school friends never stop posting pictures of weddings, honeymoons, and kids. I'll take
that
as a yes.
You know why I know that's probably true? Because I don't even look. I hate them. I don't like it. I had two people show up to my play from high school. I didn't want to see a picture. One of them says, oh, I'm married to this one from high school. Do you think I remember the guy? No. Like, hey. Message to high school people, move on. Because isn't it coming around the time where everybody has their high school reunion? Because it's usually right after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Stop going to that. In my class, listen to this. They have now so few people who want to go to reunions that they do the entire 70s.
Oh, wow.
They had 11 responses out of 10 years of people. People give up the ghost. You're not in high school anymore. And your life back then wasn't so great. You suck. Fuck you, Claire Liptak. We talked about
that. Yes, Claire Liptak. Yeah. Fuck you, Claire Liptak. My God.
If I found out she was dead now, do you think I'd still be happy? Have I let it go?
I'm going to do some research.
Okay. Okay, good. Look up Claire. Liptak. It was an I. C-L-A-I-R.
I-R.
Yeah, she needs to be told.
Next week, we're going to have a Claire Liptak update.
Okay, good.
Anyone else you'd like me to?
No, that's the only. Michelle Sweeney.
Okay.
Because I liked Michelle.
All right.
Two L's.
To Michelle Sweeney.
She.
Tell me about
Michelle. Class clown.
Ah.
Who's making a living from comedy? Me.
Right.
Why are they doing the class clown to her? I'm not speaking very good English because I'm so enraged. Why do they give class clown to somebody who's not as funny as me?
You know what? You had a subtle wit.
Yeah. Subtlety's always been my problem, Mike.
I've always said this. I find that the people who end up doing comedy are not the ones who are the class clowns. They're the one telling the class clowns what to do. They're like,
that's a good point. So we put the ideas in this bitch's head. All right, two of them, you look them up. I don't like either one of them. They should die. But if they're dead, I feel bad.
All right.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I'll see. I'll see how it hits me next week. Right, okay.
Two more.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And I already know the answers. Usually, this is for reunions. Everyone gets sleepy and goes to bed after watching some post-dinner TV, except you, who likes to stay up until all hours of the night.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else is going to watch Mindhunter and House of Cards and Orange is the New Black? I don't like these people who, the kids got to get up early. Oh, I got to get up with my husband. What's this shit? Mike, when's the last time your wife got up with you and had breakfast with you? So fucking gay. Raged, I get. This is the hot button. That's bad.
Yeah.
My sister's always like, Brian's going to the airport. I had to get up early to say bye to him. Fuck cares. I've never been in a relationship where I didn't want them to die on the airplane. And I'm not even joking about that. Like, secretly, I'd always go, you know what? Maybe if they die, I won't have to be brave enough to break up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God bless him. I love Jimmy Big Balls. I'm still friends with him. But if he'd have died, I'd have saved $150,000 in a prenup thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
And you would have gotten his baseball cards.
He did have very adult habits. Yeah. He did. Okay. All right. One more question.
Last one. In the family group, you're the only one not participating all the time because you turn off, because you just, this is about group message on Facebook, but I'm taking it as in conversations, you're not participating all the
time. It's so true. Yeah. I literally, and if we're not playing games, I have nothing in common with you and I don't want to have to freaking manufacture interest. Like, it's so funny. I'll have game night and I used to have to scare up people to come. Like friends and family, when I didn't have my core group. Stop counting the yeses, Mike. I see all the yeses and the one no. Shut the fuck up. I am the black sheep. We figured it out. Everybody only likes me because I have money. That's the only reason they come to Game Night. That's the only reason they let me hang out with them in the holidays, okay? I'm a fucking black sheep.
Listen, you only had 14 out of 50.
Shut up! I want to say really quick, though. I did notice at Game Night when these mothers would be talking about like, this tragedy, or did you hear about this school system? And this rape and this, this. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, just sit there and play apples to apples with us. No one wants you for your opinion. So you're right on that last one. I'm always opting out of these dumb conversations. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to hear about taxes going up? I'm not worried about money. Stop being worried about, I think that's the message here.
Get
rich and your life will be fine. Get rich and friends that agree with you. Get nieces and nephews who rely on you for their college tuition. Mm-hmm. And don't even think you're not the black sheep, because guess what? You fucking are. Are you, Mike, by definition, after all this?
Yes, I have to say most of these I would have said yes to. And just because normal people, comedians are not normal people. Artistic people are not normal people.
I know comedians aren't normal people, but what about you?
I know. I've gotten paid for comedy a couple times.
Three times. It was a pity. Fuck. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're a legitimately funny guy. But one thing that Mike used to do, speaking of family, that my entire family still talks about, it drove my entire friend and family group crazy. Mike would have a joke called the daddy joke.
Oh, it was great.
It was the most unfunny, terrible joke ever. And everyone before the show would text me, I'm not kidding, at Foxwoods or whatever, and they'd go, oh my God, during your set, right, they would go, is he going to do the daddy joke? Please tell me no. I hated that. And I said to him once, I go, Mike, your job as an opener is to warm up the audience, not to make them hostile. Yeah. So I would like, in case any of my family and friends are listening, for you to reprise the daddy joke, right, and have the people on our Facebook page, my Facebook page, tell me if this joke sucks or not. Okay, Mike, set it up and go.
All right, well, the setup, I'm talking about my son.
Yes.
Who has ADHD.
Which isn't a real thing. He's retarded.
Well, okay, whatever, Dr. Lampanelli, whatever you prefer to call it. And I would say it's exhausting because he gets spoiled because he gets anything he wants because he has unlimited energy. And I just, you can't fight after a while. He'll come up to me all cute. And again, there's a visual too. It's much funnier when you can see.
No, I'm sure it's terrific. Let's see how much Jim left.
I don't want to waste your precious time here on you.
Go ahead. We have 16 seconds. No, good.
Well, and there's a joke. I would just look all cute like a little kid. And I would just go, daddy, 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 daddy.
Okay, you know what? Once Jimmy Big Ball said, Jimmy would be enraged backstage and he'd go, 81. I fucking counted. It's 81 times.
I love that joke because either it died or it crushed.
Right.
There was no in between.
There was no in between.
No in between.
And that's kind of a metaphor for what we've talked about right today. Listen, people, your holidays are either going to go up in flames or they're going to be great. There's never any in between. Mm. So you know what? If at some point your holiday is going down in flames, it can't get any worse, so just start doing the daddy joke, and it'll go right into a fucking building.
Daddy, daddy.
Shut the fuck up! Mike, say daddy as we go to a break underneath in a quiet way. That'd be cute. Okay,
daddy,
go ahead.
Daddy, daddy,
okay,
daddy,
listen,
daddy,
we've got to take daddy, a break, daddy, and when daddy, we come daddy, back, daddy, daddy, I'm going to slap daddy, Mike daddy, Morris daddy, in the face daddy, and daddy, get him to daddy, stop, daddy, and we're going to have the daddy, weekly weigh-in daddy, with our dysfunctional daddy, gay daddy, black daddy, sheep, daddy, Frank DeCaro. We'll be right back with Get Stuff with Lisa Lampanelli.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back.
Okay, people, don't even call me a freaking liar, but guess what I had for breakfast today? An RX bar. I will fucking take a picture of my closet. You will find stacks of RX bars. Not that they sent to me for free because I'm a fantastic person, but because I buy them. They are unbelievable because I have to eat a lot of protein. Most people should be eating a lot of protein. That's the thing that gives you energy, gets you through life. You don't grab a Snickers bar and hope for the best. RX is a whole food protein. That means they are made with 100% whole ingredients, but actually taste good. That's why I eat them. If my bar is full of protein and tastes like a brick or a log, never mind. I can't be bothered. But with these RX bars, you grab it, you go. It's great for breakfast on the go, a snack at the office. You throw it in your bag for a plane ride, toss it in your backpack for a bike ride or a workout, even though I don't like bother doing those things. RX bars are the only bars I eat. I used to eat all of them. I used to have 12 different kinds in my closet. It's whittled itself down to now I buy one bar and it's RX bar. The real food ingredients they use actually are ingredients that taste good. That's why they taste like cacao. You can taste fruit. You can taste the spices like sea salt. So whether you like sweet or savory, chocolate or fruit, there is one or more RX bars for you. They come in 11 delicious flavor varieties. And get this, they're gluten-free for those of you who think gluten is real. They're soy-free for those of you who don't want to eat too much soy. And dairy-free, because if you're lactose intolerant, honey, the last thing you need to throw in your bag is something that gives you diarrhea. Gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free RX bars. And the thing I like most about it, because as you know, I'm trying to keep all my weight off from after my surgery, no added sugar. No one needs extra sugar. If you never ate sugar again, your doctor would be thrilled. So no added sugar, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no preservatives or fillers. You got egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture. This thing, I can't even sing the praises enough. You probably know that I don't do commercials for things I don't believe in. Well, get this. The only bar I believe in is RX bars. Get them now. For 25% off your first order, go to rxbar.com/stuffed and enter the promo code stuffed at checkout. Once again, for 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/stuffed and enter the promo code stuffed at checkout. 25% off. That's a lot. That's great. You know what that means? Watch how I am with math. You can buy a fourth more of them, and then it'll cost you the same. Does that make sense? No, but who cares? Because they're delicious. And you know what? The only thing that you need to know to make sense is that RX bars are good for you. They're 100% protein, and they taste phenomenal. Get RX bars now. If you don't, you got no one to blame but you.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Daddy, 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 daddy.
Oh my
daddy,
God, it daddy, never daddy, stopped. Daddy, daddy, I had the most daddy, painful daddy, break daddy, of my daddy, life. Daddy, daddy, hi, it's daddy, Lisa Lampanelli daddy, daddy, with daddy, Get daddy, Stuffed. Daddy. Mike!
Yeah?
God, you're a pain in the ass. Now, like we said, that joke either dies or kills, and it did both in the break. It cracked up Jim, our engineer. It made me want to thrust my own neck onto
that's
a
patent 500. Come on.
That's true. That's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. Now, we have been talking about holiday and family dysfunction. And speaking of dysfunctional, we have one of the most dysfunctional people I know who has turned into a functional human being, a skinny bastard, a true, what is the word? A pillar of society, if you will, possibly a pillar of salt, but he's trying to cut down on his salt intake, so let's hope not. We have the weekly weigh-in with my formerly fat friend, Frank DeCaro.
Ladies and gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the weigh-in with Frank.
Lisa.
Oh, my God.
And Mike.
Hello.
You too.
Frank, hey. Frank, listen to me. I forgot to contact you on your birthday because I'm totally the black sheep of my family. And as such, I'm totally self-absorbed. So I wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Well, thank you. You know, I ate my feelings because you didn't call. It was terrible. I gained 71 pounds.
I blame myself.
Very upsetting.
I do blame myself for your horror. Now, we're talking today about families and dysfunction and holidays and things like that. But first, before we get to that, what was his weight last week? Mike.
The weight last week was 211.4.
Ah, Mike, let's take a bet on this. You think he went up, down, or stayed the same?
He went up.
You know what I think? I think he went down a little, but I'm hoping.
It was his birthday, don't forget.
That's true, too. Yeah. And he did bake. Mike did a little investigative journalism. And what did you find online, Mike?
I happened to see that Frank posted a pumpkin spice bun cake that he made for a party. And it does not look like a health food type situation.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Frank, whose party did you make that cake for?
Our friends Lisa and Dexter give a chili cook-off every year.
Chili?
Dessert, which was good. And they had their own hashtag for the chili cook-off with hashtag farts, which was nice. So that was good. So we were able to post things. But I actually figured out a way to make a diet cake. You make a cake that is so fattening and so good that you barely get any of it because it is such a hit at the party. And that's what I did. I was so mad. I had a one piece left was in my head was going to be for breakfast the next day. I was like, it's birthday week. It's going to be great. It was gone. I was peeling what was left off the plate when I was washing it, shoving it in my mouth, and then going, okay, that's enough. But Frank, that's my new diet plan.
Frank, I think that's actually a really good idea. And it's great, you know, this chili cook-off. It's great that I can see you're surrounding yourself with people who support your new healthy lifestyle. I think it's fantastic.
Now, is there a fried chicken jamboree next week?
There were a lot of really fat people at it. So well, it was good. No, that's why none of the cake came home. So it worked out. I felt thin. It was
all right. So I do. Yeah. So you've been killing yourself jogging, which means you've exercised twice a week and you've been walking.
I worked out 5 of the last 6 days.
Did you work out your mouth? Did you work out chewing too?
Did not work out chewing. Was really doing great. Okay, I'm 2/10 of a pound down from the week before. That is so not fair. Okay, that is basically if I leaned one way, that's all that you know I did. And so it was like I really was busting it. But the lesson honestly is. And we all know this. Just keep going forward. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep watching what you eat.
Yeah, but is it really? Do you really feel like you're doing everything you can? Because I don't.
No,
I don't feel like you're doing everything you can. Do you?
In terms of what? Should I have eaten that cake? I should have probably not made it. I should have made a celery surprise, perhaps.
You know you're eating like crap, right?
No, I don't think I do at all.
Really?
And I said to Jim, Lisa says I eat like garbage all the time. He said, oh my God. He said, what do you, he said, no way. He said, you're driving me crazy with what you're insisting on eating. Yeah, because I do eat healthier than you think. You'd be surprised.
Of course I'd be surprised, because when I spend time with you, you're like, I ate a donut and a half, but don't worry, the rest of the day I'm just not going to eat anything. Like, that's like your version of keeping your calories down. So do you really feel like you can look yourself in a mirror and go, yeah? And by looking yourself in the mirror, I mean my judgmental face is staring back at you like the witch from Snow White. You really feel like you're eating healthy?
I was green and holding an apple the other day when I looked, now that I think about it.
It's so true.
No, I don't. Do I think I'm doing everything? No, but I think I eat healthier than you think I do, and not as healthy as I think I do.
Well, listen. Oh my God, that's a great. And look at who agrees with you. Parker is barking in the background saying that's his code for Frank's a fucking liar. Frank's a fucking liar. No, but I think that's a great way to put it. I think I hold on. Parker. Stop saying Frank's fat. He lost all that weight.
That's 2/10 of a pound. Usually you don't hear that weight measurement unless you're in a prenatal unit.
I'm a big baby about things, so it's probably true.
Well, hey, I'm proud you didn't go up, so I'm going to be light on you. I'm proud you didn't go up. I'm proud of you for going to that gym, so don't stop doing that. It seems to be the only thing that's helping you not gain weight. So how do you feel? How do you feel physically and emotionally?
Physically good, emotionally some days good, some days bad. I tell everybody, I said, between anxiety attacks, I'm having more fun than the law allows, which is kind of the truth. So it swings from, oh my God, to, this is great.
Parker says, calm the fuck down, Frank. Stop with the mood swings. He's saying, you're fine the way you are. Enjoy the weight you're at, but at the same time, don't let yourself go. See, that's where I get all my best advice is from this dog. So I feel Parker wants you to be kinder to yourself, but not so kind that you eat the blooming onion with all your fat friends. And stops. And I'm Parker said he's also grateful that you have not said lovely foodie, because that he knows is a hot button for me. So and I think you sound good. What's your anxiety over? Well, I'd love to know this.
The state of the world, being as old as I am now without any semblance of maturity, I think is part of it.
Yeah.
It's a strange feeling to be 48 in Los Angeles and 55 on my birth certificate. You know, it's a very strange thing to try and do the math and keep it all together when inside your mental age is about 13.
Right.
So it's the numbers get me confused. But then when you have birthdays and we had the anniversary of my doggy passing away, and that made me sad. So, you know, everything is, and Facebook is kind enough to remind you of, hey, your dog died 6 years ago. You know, dang.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
There's a lot of that.
Listen, you're the type, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're the type, you're going to keep manufacturing all these reasons to eat and feel bad and self-sabotage. You love it. You wouldn't know how to exist if you didn't have some angst.
Are you trying to say that a gay man likes drama?
Yes, I am. But you know what? That's you. It makes you funny. It makes you who you are. It makes you lovable. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you, believe it or not, against my better judgment. Because I think as long as your weight's not going up, I don't even care about that 0.2 pound because I think that's a dirty lie. I bet you're not even telling me. Are you telling me the truth? Is that really a loss? Did you really go to...
Yes, it made me sad. I didn't want to admit that that's all it was. I was like, I'm going to go on this week and it's going to be a pound. But it wasn't. It was nothing. It was 0.2 of a nothing. It's really. I'm telling you. One. I may have grabbed the cabinet in the bathroom for support, and that was the 0.2. It was ridiculous.
Well, hey, let's move on. Write it down. He's 211.2. Parker. I know that's considered obese and disgusting. You know, he can be very insulted, can't he? I mean, Frank, you got to stop being so nice to this dog when he comes over because he's saying really nasty things about you.
I really wish I could get to the bottom of why, sorry about the word bottom, of why dogs are so homophobic, because the words mine uses for me, it's terrible. My dog is homophobic and terrible, and it's very upset. It's almost a hate crime some days when you don't give her what she wants.
You know, the worst Parker's ever said about you is dirty sperm burper. To me, that's not that bad.
No, or compared to you, it's not that bad. No, it's true.
It's very true. Now, quickly, since I haven't beaten you up, and I feel very proud of myself, and I don't want to beat you up, so that's why I want to hear more. We were talking about this being the black sheep of the family and having to deal with families around the holidays and things like that. Am I to understand, because I said this on the podcast earlier, you are a later in life baby for your parents, correct?
Yes, my mother went in to have a tumor removed. She was 43 years old. They took the tumor out, and I was behind it waiting for someone to notice that I was there. And I've been starved for attention ever since. So,
that's true.
So this is the thing. So, yeah, they didn't know they could get pregnant. I would have been... Jim says I ate the other three in the womb because my mother had three... She had three miscarriages, and that was my fault, apparently.
Yeah,
so,
I take
but then
one.
I showed up and... hung in there and did my thing. But it was tough. And I was called the miracle baby. But I think, you know, and that was the thing. But I also had that lovely, I know you were talking about dysfunctional families. I had that lovely dynamic of my mother treating me like the sun shone out of my ass. And my father kind of being like, oh, great, you're here now. Now it's not about me anymore. And he would say lovely things like, hey, come over here and give me a hug, you fat bag of shit, you know. So,
yeah, that's a mixed signal, isn't it?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was like, you're the miracle baby and you're a fat bag of shit. It's like, well, which is it? And it's kind of, well, somewhere between the two of those is the truth. And it was weird. And my mother, this is the thing. This is when you start really, why I always tell people, if you're going to try and lose weight, you have to go to therapy. My mother said to me in these words, she says, as long as you're fat, you're mine.
Wow. Okay. Now, what do you think that really meant? That no one else will have you? Or that would it be if she'll only love you if you're fat? Which one is that?
No, I think it's more, as long as you stay fat, you'll be my little baby and my little roly-poly little child, and you'll never be grown up and want to run off with a man and go to the Getty Villa for your birthday and look at naked sculpture. You know, I mean, it's whatever. You'll always be mine. And I think that it's a way of them pretending that they're keeping you infantilized and you're a baby. But, you know, this is the terrible thing. And not to be morbid, but they get old and they croak anyway. So it's like you've given your life to being a fat tub of lard, and you could have been thin and still been their good son. You know,
right.
So it's nutty.
Well, clearly, you know? Since they've died, you've lost weight. So maybe so, it's...
Yeah, I lost. My mother was 100 and something. I lost her. No. Anyway, yes, I've been able to lose some weight. But it's a weird thing, because you always kind of... It was that feeling of, if I lose weight, I'm letting mom down. If I'm attractive enough that someone would want to be with me who isn't my parents, you know, as a primary love in my life. If you have someone who loves you and you have a romantic love relationship, you know... They were nuts, is basically what I'm saying. They were loving and meant well, and they were out of their minds.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of deal with that. But you really do have to make decisions for yourself. And losing the weight doesn't make you a bad son. It makes you a better person. And then you can love the world more and love yourself a little bit more. And that's what they really want for you, but they certainly didn't always know how to express that.
Right. Well, that's the problem. They didn't. And then you had to read between the lines by going to therapy for yourself, which I'm proud that you did. And I know Mike is super hard on you and likes to make fun of you and say you only read menus and saying 0.2 pounds is nothing and that you're a useless waste of skin. I don't like saying that, Frank. I don't think it's correct. Do you?
I don't agree. I do think 0.2 pounds is nothing, but everything else I heartily disagree with. I have to tell you, a lot of my food issues, though, go back to getting frustrated with my dad. Because my dad, everything you need to know about my relationship with my father would say, oh, my God, I gained 12 pounds since the end of World War II.
Oh, all right. So he had these weird standards for keeping thin.
Yeah, well, he was good at it. He would also have that thing of, I really like this, don't ever buy it again. And that was always like, I never understood that. My father would taste something that was good, and he was of his whole culture was denying himself stuff. It was frugality. It was all the stuff I hate. Because I'm like, how much of it do you have? I'll take all of it. It comes in 10 colors, I'll take all 10. You know, give me two extra and I'll sew them together and make a double color one. You know, I'm like, more is better. And
well, you know,
the opposite of that.
I suggest if you're going to keep going the way you're going, you get two shirts and sew them together because you're going to need them to be that big.
You're sweet. Thank you. I love a vote of confidence.
Want to know why? This is why, because we're speaking so much about family. This is why you like me as a friend, because I combine your mom and your dad. Because I do.
You do.
Yeah, I do the fat bag of shit thing to you. You know I don't mean it, just like you know your father didn't mean it. But I still have that thing of like, Frank, you know I love you. That's why when Mike is here being bad cop, I'm like, I got no choice but to be good cop, which puts me in this weird, really uncomfortable, weird situation to be nice. So, you know, we have to thank Mike for bringing out the niceness in me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, see that?
Just don't hurt yourself trying to be nice. That's the thing. I know it doesn't feel right, so don't hurt yourself.
Difficult for me. Now, really quick, Frank, before we go, I want to ask you, since we're talking about the holidays today, who are you lucky or unlucky enough to have to spend the holidays with this year?
All right. My gal pal, Erica, who you know.
Yes.
My closest gal pal. She's sort of the Karen to my Jack, let's put it that way. I was going to say Grace to my Will, but who are we kidding?
Yes.
I'm Jack and she's Karen. So, but anyway, so she was going to go away with other friends this year, and she announced that she was not going to spend Christmas with us, which is be the first time in a decade or more. And I did not take it well. Well, her other friends that she was going to throw us over for backed out on their trip that they were all going on. So I said, and I said, get your ass back in the fold. You're mine till we're both dead. Every Christmas Eve, you're mine.
Well, that
and
sounds...
she said, really? Forever?
That so sounds
she's
so...
back, so I'm thrilled into life.
That sounds so functional. The only better way would have been if she said, my plans fell through, and you said, well, you've hurt me, so now you're out. That's, I think, cutting off the nose to spite the face would have been the cooler, better ending of the story, but I appreciate that you're a softie.
She's like the prodigal hag returns, you know, so I was very glad that she was back in the fold. And I was like, I forgive you for thinking you could be somewhere else, but never pull that shit again. You're mine forever.
Now, are
so,
you
just on Christmas Eve?
Are
so
you stuck,
every other day? I don't care who has her.
Are you stuck with hanging out with Jim's conservative family for part of it?
Oh, a little bit. But you know what? They're all right. And you just the children need our influence. You know, they need to see a couple big queens show up. So they don't only have Republican role models. So I was like, that's really the reason to do it. And against my better judgment, I have a soft spot for them too. I get real mushy around the holidays. I've already got a light up ceramic Christmas tree. I've had it up since before Halloween. I was like, the moment that put that out in Target, I was like, you're coming home with daddy. And
God, as Frank has said before, you could rename Target, fuck you, fat faggot, and you'd still go back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't care. I love Target. But Target is nice to us now. It's the only thing is, there's never a transsexual in the bathroom when you want one. They said, oh, transsexual in the bathroom. Never. And I look, and they won't give you a rain check, and I freaking hate that.
Well, so listen.
That's the only thing I have against Target.
That's going to be my gift to you. I'm going to invite one over for New Year's Eve, and, you know, you and Jim can stare in awe. How does that sound?
I want to go. Now you come and show me. I want the girl with something extra. You get in here. I'm going to go look. I'm all ready for that. Oh, have I got an outfit for you? Oh boy.
Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. We have to go, and by that I mean we have to go. But I got to tell you, Frank, I'm not as against you as Mike is.
It's tough love.
I'm happy that you had a small loss. I expect a phone call off the air to discuss, if you like to discuss your anxiety with me, because I know you like to discuss it in private and stress me out as much as you are. But I'm proud of you, and a belated happy birthday, and don't have another piece of cake on me, okay?
I definitely won't. And Mike, the sexual harassment game we played yesterday made me very happy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We like to play. We play Kevin Spacey and
Anthony Rapp
in the company. Yeah, we do. We play. That's our little game. I show up and it's Mr. Spacey, and he says yes, and I said so. It's nice. And it was for my birthday. He went against his natural inclination.
Let's just say I got a bad rap.
I love you, Frank. Tell people where they can find you on social media.
I'm at frankdecaro.com, and all my social media is at Frank DeCaro Show.
All right, Frank. Well, I love you. I'll talk to you this week, and congrats on your quote-unquote loss.
Yeah, that towel rack really helped. Love you both.
Bye. Well, I think we were fairly nice to Frank.
I think you were a mensch.
I know, I am. I'm a Jew. It doesn't make any sense, but I am.
2/10 of a pound.
That's not bad.
You can't even buy lunch meat at the deli 2/10 of a pound.
I know. Try going in there and telling that guy. He won't even use those plastic gloves. But, Mike, we've learned a lot.
Oh, yeah.
What have we learned today?
You are a black sheep.
Yes, I'm a black sheep.
I think a black sheep.
I'm going to go without saying, even doing a quiz, that Frank's a black sheep.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to say, listen, people, what we've learned is hang out with your family as much as you can tolerate. Try not to be the center of attention. You can get that from, what, your friends? Nah, them neither. Guess what? Maybe you don't have to be the center of attention all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Rein it back a little.
Yeah, rein it in. Go to your shrink. Talk about it. And you know what? Just like freaking eat your feelings.
Sound advice.
I know, right? Yeah. Sound advice. Now, Mike, we're going to be back next week.
Yes.
But before we go, I want to know where people can see you on social media.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm on Facebook, Mike Morse, M-O-R-S-E, and also on Twitter, Mike Morse Says at Twitter. And just come at writefunny.net is my website.
W-R-I-T-E funny.net.
Mm-hmm.
See the hilarious shit that he writes. Now you can find me, Lisa Lampanelli, on social media. Lisa Lampanelli. Everywhere, lisalampanelli.com. And if you can't spell it, I don't want you as a fan. And who else do we need to thank, Mike?
Well, of course, Lauren and Ken from Puffin Dog Music.
They're very good.
Yes, they do all the tunes you hear. And let's not forget your favorite, Anthony from Five Ohm Productions.
So much. Such a bother. Always harassing.
He's doing the mixing. He's doing producing.
He's doing it all.
He's doing it all. And check more of these fine shows out by going to feralaudio.com.
Yes. And thank you, Mike Morse. I have nothing but bad things to say about you. Thank you, Jim, our engineer, for not bringing another Puerto Rican into my house. And we will see you next week on Get Stuffed with Lisa Lamanna.
Did you get stuffed? With a tiny frame, she's raw as hell, she's hot, she's rough, she's Lisa Lampanelli, and you just got stuffed. Did you get enough? Did you get stuffed?
Bye-bye.
Feral Audio.